Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tick, tock, tick, tock, fall and pray, because Karrion Kross has returned to WWE and has been inserted right into the main event scene. Welcome to the WrestleTalk Podcast review of SmackDown and Rampage. I am Chubba P. Quinnell, and I'm joined today not by my intangible co-host Tempest, but by none other than Sat E. Nyangi here in flesh, here in the person, in the flesh, in person.
Yes, look at that. I can feel him, he can feel me. There's not a screen on the background. Sat E. Nyangi here to stimulate the juices of your wrestling fandom.
Yes, what a good one. If you guys haven't seen the WrestleTalk News episode today, Sat made his debut on the news as well today, so go show him some love on that video too. The comments have been very nice so far, so let's keep that trend going, shall we? Get in your Ultra Chats to WrestleTalk.com/support. We're going to go through all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. But the first thing we're going to talk about is going to be this main event segment on SmackDown, which was Roman Reigns coming out to cut a promo saying he was going to brag about what happened, because the Usos are still champions and he's still champions, so, you know, let's brag about it. Gets interrupted by Drew McIntyre, who's going to be his challenger at Clash at the Castle. But before anything important can happen, other than Drew McIntyre calling him the Tribal Queef, that's a thing that happened. Called him the Tribal Queef. He then gets interrupted. He says, I don't want to wait for Clash at the Castle. I want to fight now. Takes his t-shirt off, gets ready to go. But here comes a returning Karrion Kross. And this isn't, very importantly, this is not the old main roster Karrion Kross. This is NXT Karrion Kross with Scarlett, with his old music, the big Harbinger of Doom, the big flapping bird visual on the Tron, the Fallen Prey music. Kross comes out and attacks Drew McIntyre from behind, rams his head repeatedly into the steps, which is a cool-looking spot, does his big elbow to the back of the head, and then Scarlett comes down with an hourglass, puts it into the ring, and turns it down so the sand starts ticking down on Roman Reigns' title reign. This is a fantastic way to end the show. I really enjoyed all of this.
And to think that Vince McMahon did not see money in the pairing of Scarlett and Karrion Kross. This, for me, is Triple H trying to prove a point. I feel like everything that Vince said that wasn't working out, he's going to prove him wrong. It's also like Thanos. First, he's got Dakota Kai back, and now he's got Karrion Kross back. Who else is going to be on the Infinity Stone? What's the next one? Who's he going to revive?
It's going to be Bray Wyatt, Johnny Gargano, and Candice LeRae. Can that count as one, or is that two?
I'll count it as one.
Count that as one?
I'll count that the way.
The way? One. Yeah, yes. That's one. All right. And then what's the last one? The last one that needs doing. Who else was on my list of people that he was going to rehire? I can't remember my own list.
Did you write the list?
Technically, I took the entry from a WrestleTalk.com article, but that's not the point.
Mm-hmm. No, but
anyway,
but this goes to show you how much the main event scene in the WWE during the Vince era this year was so dark. I mean, they were going to push Madcap Moss. No offense to Madcap Moss. Maybe a lovely young man, but he was not ready for any sort of push trying to bring him. And you got Theory with the Money in the Bank briefcase. And when you see Karrion Kross and you instantly put him in the main event, it doesn't seem out of place. Yes, he lost to Jeff Hardy in a couple of minutes. Yes, he dressed in Demolition Kink outfit.
Mm.
But if we do a hard reset and you do a Men in Black thing and you squeeze the little pen thing, forget it happened.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been he had an injury his back. He's got hair now, Scarlet with him. I'm excited. We've got something excitable to talk about. It's not another week of saying, oh, SmackDown was drab, SmackDown is boring, whatever. But this was good.
This was good.
Not great, I'm terrible. It's good.
It's just good. And the thing is, I think this is such an important... This is yet another step of Triple H's WWE. Because as I mentioned on that video that you should totally go and watch of the 10 former WWE stars that Triple H could rehire, go check it out on the main WrestleTalk channel. This is such a statement by Triple H. Because in the space of a week that he's really had control, we've got Dakota Kai coming back, the new stable with Bayley, Dakota, and Io. Got Karrion Kross coming back. We've got Ciampa challenging for the US title. We've got Ricochet getting a win on this show. There's so many like little steps that are happening. Some of them bigger than others, like the return of Bayley in that faction or Karrion Kross returning here. They're much bigger statements. But there's also lots of other little steps happening that I think are going to add up over time to make one big change across the whole product. And I'm excited.
Do say.
I mean, like I've been mentioning, Ricochet getting the win, Shayna Baszler getting the win, more focus on women, the women's tag title tournament coming back. There's so many of these things happening that I think we're going to look back in a few months and be like, oh yeah, this was happening the whole time. We're going to look back and be like, this is a completely different product than what we're used to.
And also, new complaints. Triple H is shoving his NXT people down our throat. That's going to be coming through. I'm going to predict that because we can't have good things for too long because we have to crap on it eventually.
Exactly. I've already seen people being like, I just have no interest in seeing NXT Karrion Kross back. I'm like, would you prefer main roster Karrion Kross?
Either or, what
do you want?
Do you want Vince's Karrion Kross, Demolition Kink, or do you want the dude that's obsessed with hourglasses?
Yeah. I'll take the hourglass guy.
Yes, I'll take the hourglass guy and his wife.
Yeah.
Who's like a modern day Sherry Martel. Mm. I know most people don't watch NXT. Heck, no one watched the review I was on. That's why it got cancelled and I'm here. But that was a good character. Scarlett got a lot to bring to the table because for a lot of people, that's the first time seeing her on screen. She did that dark matches, but she's never been on screen.
Yeah.
So this is a completely new character for a lot of people never seen her. You're in for a treat. If they let Karrion Kross of like NXT or even an updated version of what he's doing NXT with, you know, much more growth hormones inside, you're in for a treat.
Yeah, I think this act is one that is perfect for the main roster because I know that NXT Karrion Kross rubbed some people the wrong way and that he didn't quite like fit, you know, or like the indie guys that people really liked for NXT. And
he was an indie. I know. I'm gonna get into it.
You do it, Sat.
I'm gonna get into
you
it.
You go.
Karrion Kross is an indie guy.
Yeah,
Killer Kross was in the indies.
Yeah.
MLW. He did AAW. He did Japan. He did Mexico. What more do you want from him? I'm sorry that he's 6'3", 6'4". I'm sorry that he likes to do spooky promos. I'm sorry that his wife's attractive. Because sometimes it's like a Vince thing. People don't like people with attractive wives. It's like, why is your wife attractive? Let me break your spirit. Because you seem to be too happy in life. Vince has got a history of doing that. Mark Merrill had a hot wife. He goes, you got a hot wife? Come here. Come here, pal. Let me show you something. Rusev's got a hot wife. Come here. Mm-hmm. You're Bulgarian. You shouldn't have a hot wife. Yeah. You should have one with a mustache. You know,
but yes. All right, Sat. Yeah, sure, buddy. But anyway, I feel like a lot of people felt like Karrion Kross didn't quite fit in NXT because there was a lot of the smaller indie guys and Karrion Kross wasn't in that mold. So I know some people didn't quite enjoy his NXT run, but I think that act is absolutely perfect for the main roster.
Bingo.
It is spot on for what the main roster should be. And him getting immediately inserted into this title picture, he immediately feels like someone who could legitimately beat Roman Reigns. And that is the first time I have said that sentence in a long time because who's the last person that legitimately looked like they could beat Roman Reigns? Because I didn't buy that Brock Lesnar was going to win at SummerSlam. I didn't buy that Brock Lesnar was going to win at WrestleMania.
No.
Who the hell was before that?
There was Kevin Owens at some point was involved. Edge. Did you buy Edge potentially because it's a comeback story?
No.
Bryan Danielson or Daniel Bryan. Did you buy that?
No.
Kevin Owens?
No.
Jay Uso? Because that's how far we're going back.
Yeah,
Bray Wyatt, then Bray Wyatt got jet skied to Raw because he was a SmackDown guy. And
didn't buy Riddle.
Braun Strowman. This is how far I'm going back. I'm digging people from the ditches. You know,
Cesaro?
Cesaro was another one. But yeah.
Like, no one really, but this feels like a lot. Honestly, the two names that I can really see beating Roman Reigns right now are Drew McIntyre and Karrion Kross. And we got both of them involved in this title feud. And for me, that's really exciting.
I'll be honest. I didn't think Drew was, unless one of the titles on the line, that was the caveat, I didn't think that he was going to win. I think it's more like, all right, Drew, you got your show now. Mm-hmm. You're going to headline. That's it, pal. For me, it's more Cody Rhodes was the only one for me on the horizon before the injury, and that's it. But when Vince was in charge, you can see him doing something crazy, like give Theory the title for 2 seconds for a month, then lose it, and you're like, why did you do it? But yeah, Karrion Kross, as someone that Roman Reigns has never interacted with, never touched, never buried on a promo, say that you're like third rate or whatever, because that's what Drew McIntyre's got, that stink of that promo from Survivor Series. So Karrion Kross coming back as a new character, refreshed. Mm-hmm. He looks menacing. He's got hair now. But people can complain. Is this heel versus heel? Do we want to see heel versus heel?
Well, it's a three-way feud, though, because you've got Drew as the babyface in the mix. I'm totally on board with all of this.
I'm on board, but you still get people he did not deserve to get. Because he's getting thrust into the main... It's weird. He's getting thrust in the main event scene. I've already seen some comments saying, is Karrion Kross Triple H's first big stumble?
No. That's the answer. No, it isn't.
And I agree. No is the answer, because what do you want? Moss, Theory, or Kross? Those are your three options. Pick one wisely.
Madcap Moss, Theory, or Karrion Kross. I'll take Karrion Kross of the bunch, I think.
Yes.
But yeah, I really like that this was the NXT Kross, as if previous main roster debut never happened, getting thrust right in at the main event. This is exciting. This has changed. This is different. This is different from what we normally see. And that, to me, is really exciting, because we haven't seen something that's like a drastic change in WWE since 20, maybe even like 2018, maybe a bit earlier. Like, I'm trying to think of the last like landscape shaking, like, oh
also,
my God.
Also, you know? When you were describing the Roman Reigns promo, I was like, we've seen this before. He comes out, he brags. Even Drew McIntyre coming out, we've seen a babyface cut a promo. The babyface doesn't want to wait. Let's fight now. And you'd be like, Sami Zayn's been a recurring theme on the show. He's going to attack him or to prove his loyalty. But nope, we've got the surprise that happened in the main event. So yes, I'm very, very excited for what's to come.
I'm super pumped for all of this. And I know there might be some people, this is just something that I thought that people might think. I haven't seen anyone saying this, so this is pure speculation on my part. Are people being like, Karrion's kind of interfering with Drew's title shot that he's been wanting to get for a while. And maybe that's true, but I feel like this is more exciting, honestly.
Also, why are you crying for? Because after Drew loses, because eventually, you know, that's
he's gonna...
that's a spoiler, guys. Yeah.
Not he's prediction.
Gonna, in it, it's not a prediction, spoiler. He's going to lose. What happens to Drew afterwards? He's got a new feud on the horizon with Karrion Kross.
And also something we should talk about, something that you mentioned in your news episode today, that Sat presented. You haven't seen that? Reminder, he did a news episode. Go watch it. Show him love. Is that one of the reported pitches that Fightful Select reported was that Karrion Kross might be getting a title match with Roman Reigns for one of the world titles, not both. So this might be a way to have Karrion Kross win, but still protect Roman Reigns because he still holds on to a title coming out of it. I don't know. And maybe you could have Kross pin McIntyre to win one of the titles if it's like a triple threat, so that Reigns still is still intact afterwards and still hasn't lost, but he's gotten rid of one of the world titles.
I can see that happening on a SmackDown. I can legit I can see them do like before Clash of the Castle. Is it Clash at the Castle?
Clash at the Castle.
No, Bash at the Beach.
Clash at the Castle, which we're doing a watch party for.
Yes.
I don't think the link is in the description because I don't think I did it, but click the link if it's there. And if it's not, come back and click the link later.
I did a news video. It was on that description. Click on there.
Yeah. Go watch the news video.
Click on there, subscribe, and then come back possibly. You could do both. Multitask. Yeah. We can do this.
Absolutely.
I was thinking, it sounds like a WWE thing or Triple H thing to do to make it exciting. The week before the actual Clash at the Castle match, do the triple threat, and then Kross can pin McIntyre, then McIntyre can go chase the title afterwards. Maybe Kross can interfere at Clash of the Castle. But yeah, it's exciting. Possibilities endless. The pieces are moving around. It doesn't feel like Groundhog Day anymore. And you don't feel like you have to, you know, do bad things to yourself because you're watching WWE.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Well, let's get into seeing what you guys think. Let's get in some of your Ultra Chats here. Keep sending those into wrestletalk.com/support. Mayor of Painesville, Dan, says, Fall and pray. I hope you two are having an awesome time. Sadly, cannot be here live as I'm on my way to WXW tonight. But I had to say something about Karrion Kross. I think he can make a huge impact. Finally, change! TikTok. Hopefully, Loomis is next.
Loomis would be a great 24/7 champion. I've been saying that the whole time. I can see him teaming up with R-Truth. R-Truth's got a serial killer friend and he's oblivious to it. He becomes a tag team. Let's just say you get rid of the 24/7 division. Maybe Triple H thinks it's a blemish.
Oh,
and then
God.
R-Truth starts a tag team with Loomis, but Loomis is a serial killer and he doesn't even know it.
I love that. Let's bring Loomis. Mayor of Painesville Dan loves Dexter Loomis so much. He's like next world champion Dexter Loomis. He does. Loves him. And I love it immediately. Like, he'd be a great 24/7 champion.
He would be. Like, that's no offense. Even like, I was saying it before when I was doing the NXT 2.0 review, that no one's watching. I said that NXT 2.0 is building a lot of 24/7 champion calibers. Because when you watch it, like,
yeah,
the ceiling's there.
That was there. It, yeah.
The ceiling's there, except for Carmelo Hayes.
Oh, he's others. Amazing. Yeah. Love Carmelo.
And Bron Breakker. Those are the only two I can see not for the title.
Matt Hennessy says, really enjoyed SmackDown. Glad Kross is back and some seeds for the future have been planted. I can see the bloodline turning on Sammy and using him as a sacrificial lamb. It can build sympathy for a face run for Zayn and Reigns feud down the line. Interesting. I've got a different theory, but we'll come to that when we talk about it in the main review of the show. Like,
we got the same theory.
Yeah.
We've been hinting at this for a while and it seems it might be the way to go.
Matt Hennessy again said, it's been a good week for returns to WWE with Kross, Scarlett, Io, and Kai. With next week's Raw in the hometown of a certain Rebel Heart, I could see Gargano back next week. Happy to see talents like Shayna, Ciampa, Kross, and Ricochet get pushed. I agree. Very much so. Mm. I think it would be odd to see Gargano just come back on a Raw. It could work, I guess, depends on how they use him, but I would have thought that personally, because Gargano's such like a Triple H guy, that Triple H would do like a bigger thing than that. Would be like, here's this huge angle for Gargano to come back to, like a Clash of the Castle or something like that. I don't know.
Think about this. Let's just say that Ciampa beats Lashley.
Mm-hmm.
Ciampa celebrates with the title
and
with
then
Miz.
You have, yeah, then you have Gargano
hometown
come back.
Pop mm-hmm. and all that kind
yeah,
of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. I could totally see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Now it's starting to make, I didn't know it was in Cleveland. Now I'm starting to think that might be the case.
Good theory, that one.
If it happens, you know who said it first. We did, right here.
Yeah, we did. Not Matt Hennessy. We did. It's our theory, not yours.
No, right? I bet like the whole, we laid it out. Because you're thinking, it's inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
How can that happen? Why?
Yeah.
And I'm like, There's a reason.
But it could be. Yes. Vandalia 1998 says, 1998, sorry, said, with Karrion Kross back and using the same NXT gimmick, do you think the days of rebooting the character when they come to Raw or SmackDown are over? I hope so. I noticed that quite a few times on this show, they were mentioning people's NXT past. They mentioned it for Shayna Baszler. They mentioned it for Karrion Kross, like former NXT champion. And Shayna Baszler, former two-time NXT women's champion, you know? So I think there's going to be a lot more referencing their past in NXT because Triple H really likes NXT.
Not just that. Imagine you put all this work in this developmental brand to the point where people call it the third brand. And then your father-in-law, your boss goes, nah, that's pittance. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's going to hurt your soul. So he wants to be like, hey, this is legitimate. This is a thing. Be proud of what you did. Embrace it. It's not a stigma anymore. It's not an albatross around the neck anymore. Nope.
Exactly. Well, we'll get into more of your Ultra Chats later on. Keep sending those in to wrestletalk.com/support. Going to go through all the ones that are $5.
I thought you were going for bucks.
Bucks and dollars. By the time the show goes off the air. And also, just in case you missed the announcement somehow, we're doing a watch party for Clash at the Castle. You can come see all the WrestleTalk crew. Seth, are you going to that?
I wasn't invited.
You don't need an invite. You can just come. It's fine.
Do you hear that? I can just turn up to the office anytime I want.
Yeah, you actually can, though.
To the other guys, Ollie, Luke, if you're like, why is he here? He invited me.
I did. Open invitation to Sat Niangi. Are you coming along to this watch party, Sat?
When is the show?
September the... 4th? 5th? 3rd? It's a Saturday. Wherever that weekend is.
I'd have to get back to you.
Sat might be there, but the rest of the WrestleTalk crew will definitely be there.
I've got a newborn baby. That's my excuse. I'm sorry. I'm not ready to be a deadbeat dad already. I've just started.
You can come see loads of the WrestleTalk crew, loads of No Rolls Barred crew. Loads of people are going to be there. It's going to be great. We've sold over half the tickets. Over 100 tickets already sold. So get them while they're still there because they might sell out soon. Get the link. I think the mods were posting it. If the mods are posting it, then click that link. Do the thing. Come
Do
watch
that
us.
Thing.
Come watch us. It will be fun. And come watch the show. You can be in a big crowd of people, all like-minded. Everyone fans of WrestleTalk, fans of wrestling. It's going to be a good time.
And you can smell them too.
Don't do that. That's less fun. Especially if it's going to be sweaty in there. It might be.
Smell
Who
Jesus.
Knows? let's get into reviewing the rest of SmackDown, shall we? Which started off with a very long recap of SummerSlam, which is fair. Not everyone's going to have to have checked out the premium live event. You need to keep people up to speed with what happened. Totally fair. I understand. But if you're going to do a long recap at the start of the show, don't then recap in the rest of the show. Because the point of doing a long recap at the start is that now everyone's up to speed.
Yeah,
there you go. You've done the recap. We then got lots more recaps in the show of stuff that happened on SummerSlam. It's like, we already recapped this.
Well, no. Someone could have went to the loo. Could have missed Liv Morgan tapping out, so they'd see it again.
Oh, they showed that replay so many times. And while it was a very good spot, well executed, I liked it in terms of timing and all that, they said, up next, we've got this thing, the fallout from this spot. And I was like, cool. They literally just replayed the spot. And they said, coming up next, this thing. Great. We then got that thing again and a full video recap of the match.
They don't trust
why?
They don't trust our memories. That's what it is. They don't think you remember.
That?
They said, what recap? Mm. What happened?
Yeah. So there's... Triple H's WWE, significantly better so far. There are still things I'd change, like these recaps. Please sort it out. The Usos and Reigns arrived backstage. Cool. And then we had a really, really long recap of Corbin getting low blow by Pat McAfee, which Pat McAfee had like the little screen that you can draw on, like he used to do in like football plays and stuff like that.
And WWE used to do that. Bobby the Brain Heenan, brain scan. If you're a 90s wrestling fan, you know what I mean. He did a brain scan.
Yeah. So one of those things where you could draw on the screen and all that stuff. It was funny. It went on way too long.
Yeah,
it
outstayed its welcome.
Really outstayed its welcome. Because I think the actual clip of him kicking him in the balls, I think played maybe like 12 times, something like that. It was a lot.
Varying speed as well.
Yeah, slow-mo, freeze frames, he drew extra things. Like, it was funny, but it went on way too long.
It was funny too, it wasn't funny.
Just cut it back. We then had Corbin backstage was upset about this. Ricochet came to him and been like, ha, you suck. And then they had a match, which Ricochet won. That's good. That's good.
I have trust issues. Isn't this like the 5,000 push he's had this year?
But it's the first one under Triple H. Right? Okay. Right, guys?
Okay, I'm back again.
Yeah. Optimism!
Oh, yeah!
Exactly. Triple H is the savior of all. This was fine. I think this is the start of a slow push for Ricochet, which is good, because I think just, you know, rocketing him much, much higher in the card, I think would be a bit jarring. I think doing like a slow push, you get to a win over Corbin here. There was a little bit of a distraction. Corbin got distracted by Pat McAfee during that. That's, which is like, eh.
That's my only beef with the match, because it felt like it was more of an angle to progress the feud between Corbin and McAfee.
Surely that feud is over.
I assume so, but then we're in Clash at the Castle. Get that new Pat McAfee theme over in Wales.
Yeah.
Why not? But for me, if they do a thing of where Ricochet, if they do what they did in NXT, where he just wrestles, just let the guy wrestle every week.
Let the guy wrestle.
He doesn't have to cut a promo. Just let him wrestle. He came to, when you hire Ricochet, you hire Ricochet to go do cool, dynamic moves off the top rope, in the ring, right? Just make him do that every week. Have a great bang of matches.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was fine, though. This was a solid match, I thought. Got given a bit of time.
Yeah.
Ricochet won. Good stuff. Shooting star press. It was very good. We then had Pat McAfee throw a football to him, and then Ricochet threw it back.
See, I can see two sides of this. If you're a Pat McAfee fan, you enjoy the segment. If you're a Pat McAfee detractor, you're like, they're putting the announcer over everyone. I can see that complaint, too.
I don't think they're necessarily putting Pat McAfee over everyone. It's just that so far on this show, we've had Pat McAfee doing a lengthy replay of Baron Corbin getting kicked in the balls. Mm. And then after this match, he's involved in the distraction. And then he throws a football with Ricochet. And then Shinsuke Nakamura comes out where Pat McAfee's still the focus of it. It's like, I like Pat McAfee in small doses. And this is a lot of Pat McAfee. And he grates on me after a little while. And this is just a very Pat-heavy section of the show.
You felt like this was a Pat McAfee show version of SmackDown.
Yeah. This opening bit was anyway. It was, whatever. We had Sami Zayn stuff, which we'll get into later. We'll just review all the segments in one later on.
Awesome.
And then we had Shinsuke Nakamura versus Ludwig Kaiser. Again? This is the third time they're fighting.
It was a rubber match. The external commentary was a rubber match between them.
I don't know if that justifies it, I'll be honest. I really don't think that justifies it. But sure, they then said that during the match, Pat McAfee said that Nakamura's got an Intercontinental title shot next week. But I thought this was for him getting an IC title shot.
Yeah, it was meant to. That was the whole point.
Maybe Pat just beefed it and he said the result by accident. Whatever. Nakamura won, shockingly. He won clean. This was a fine match. Nothing wrong with it, really. Thought it was all right. I would have thought, this is me being way too optimistic for Triple H's WWE.
Okay.
If this was supposed to be the return of NXT Nakamura, this wasn't that. This was Nakamura having a match.
It's fine. You're saying main roster Nakamura for the last couple of years.
It's main roster Nakamura, which is fine. I'm not expecting everything to change immediately. I'm just trying to not get my hopes up too much.
I want
NXT Nakamura back. But Nakamura versus Walter.
Gunther. His name is Gunther.
Next week.
Wait. You didn't know there's two different people. Walter was chunky. Gunther is slim.
Yeah.
And trim. Two different guys. They look different.
He sure is.
One looks gaunt. The other one looked happy. Me.
Gaunt. Jesus. It was a fine match. Nothing special, really. And then we had Nakamura and Gunther staring off afterwards for the IC title match next week.
Nice in it, right? Gunther. Gunther.
I still don't like it. Liv Morgan came out for a promo and the crowd booed her and chanted, "You tapped out," towards her. And people booing her, I think it's deserved. Like, in character, I mean, not against Liv Morgan the person, but in character, she lost, right? She tapped out before the three count. She should have lost her title.
And she said that she tapped out after the three count.
Yeah, which is incorrect. So if this is leading to a heel turn, good, because they're playing into the heel turn. I don't think they should turn a heel yet, because she's still really popular, and I don't think they fully, they haven't tapped into the potential of her as a babyface fully yet before a heel turn.
That's because they don't know how to book her as a baby. Like, all we've seen is a whiny babyface. I like Liv Morgan, but how they booked her is she cries and whines and she cashed in on someone that had a match already. Mm-hmm. Is that your hero? That's your hero? Because you don't even believe her winning. I feel like they're more booing her booking.
Yes.
She's now become a victim of said action. It could have been any babyface in that situation. It happened to be her. Because the whole point is Liv has a connection with the fans. Well, not the fans this week.
Mm.
But it goes to show how they've butchered this. Because now we're now questioning, were we wrong? Did Ronda turn heel or was she a justified babyface? You know?
We don't know.
Is Liv turning into a delusional babyface or a delusional heel? We don't know. We have to wait for Ronda to come back.
And this isn't really like a curiosity, like, oh, I'm not sure where they're going. This is like a confused, like, oh, I don't know what they're trying here.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it feels a little bit off.
Basically, it's not the first time doing a job. It's not like a new Joe Blogs on the job. You have to book a storyline. How do I do a heel turn? How do I do a face turn? I don't know what I'm doing, man.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what you're doing. You're trying to keep Ronda looking strong, but now she's angry. Is it that Liv is a underdog babyface, and that's how they're trying to book her, and it's just come off the wrong way? You tapped out.
Here's what you should have done. Have Liv Morgan win. That's what you should have done.
I feel like they should have done a thing where Liv Morgan refused to lose and then Ronda's frustration made her get self DQ'd.
I would have hated a DQ finish. Liv Morgan should have just won.
Or maybe, yes, Ronda wins with Liv Morgan passing out.
I hate that too. Liv Morgan should win. Because then it puts over Liv Morgan a lot, and that's the point. But is to push Liv Morgan.
That for me doesn't make sense. It's kind of like Becky had a hard time beating Ronda, but then Becky beat Liv easily, but then Liv can beat Ronda.
Because Liv is improving. That's the point. She's grown from her feud with Becky Lynch, and you can have Ronda not take her seriously and underestimate her, and her experience, or lack of it, just like makes her get overconfident.
Since we're deconstructing Money in the Bank, she was losing to Rhea Ripley before she got the... See, this is where you should build a wrestler, because she doesn't have that much credibility going into it, and that's what's rubbish about it.
Yeah.
I can't pretend all of a sudden she can win now, guys. She can win.
But the way she gains credibility is by winning.
By losing. By passing out. Austin won the fans over with Bret Hart by losing because he never gave up. They can live the same thing where, she lost the title, but she's tough. She refuses to lose. Or the ankle lock from Ronda, she refused to stop it, then reversed the decision. Plonker.
Or she taps out after the three count.
Like she said she did.
There's a lot of options, basically, is what we're saying.
Like she said she did. She said that. Yeah.
What we're saying is lots of options. Then we had a gauntlet match. She was interrupted by Sonya Deville. We had a gauntlet match to determine Liv Morgan's challenge of a clash at the castle. And on paper, I think this is a great idea. Doing a gauntlet match is great. Big fan of this. Getting a lot of spotlight on the women's division, which is something Triple H has already done on Raw as well.
Bingo.
And there was another thing later on as well, which we'll talk about. But I thought this was a really good idea. Sonya Deville versus Aaliyah. Sonya Deville won very quickly. Sonya Deville versus Raquel Rodriguez. Raquel Rodriguez won fairly quickly.
She's got a new theme song. I'm not feeling it.
It's not good.
Her NXT one was catchy.
Yeah. They butcher theme songs. What can I say? Rodriguez beat Deville. Rodriguez then beat Shotzi. Rodriguez then beat Xia Li. Rodriguez then beat Natalia.
Gosh darn it.
And then it was Rodriguez versus Shayna Baszler. And Shayna Baszler won. And, you know, when I saw the lineup of the people in this match, I was like, NXT Shayna Baszler. I want her back. That would be amazing. We didn't quite get NXT Shayna Baszler, but Shayna Baszler won, which is an improvement from what she's been portrayed as before. I thought elements of this match didn't quite work for me, though. That each of the individual matches didn't quite go long enough. This felt like a series of squash matches rather than a series of competitive matches. Because I think doing the idea of a gauntlet match is a very good idea. But if you're going to do it, assign more time to it. You know, like the epic gauntlet matches that we really love, the stuff that got Kofi Kingston over, and, you know, the amazing, like, tag team gauntlet match that they had for Kofi's title shot later and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Those things were given because they were like an hour of the show. And they had a whole story arc through the whole thing. And I think they tried to do that with Raquel here, but because it didn't have enough time, it's like, okay, Raquel just beats everyone, sure, cool, and then Shayna wins. Okay, great. Rather than actually investing into the story of these wrestlers in the match, there just wasn't enough time to get into it. You know?
What I 100% agree with you, but what I also saw was because of how long Raquel was in the ring, you can almost argue Shayna took advantage of a very fatigued Raquel Rodriguez. So that means knowing WWE, the penchant of doing next week is going to be Shayna versus, you know, Raquel.
Sure. Yeah, which I hope Shayna wins.
Yeah, that too.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
But I also thought another thing that didn't quite work for me. This is a minor complaint, but I still think it could have been better, was the final match between Raquel and Shayna. Because Shayna was dominating, as she should. Raquel should be fatigued, because she's faced like four other people by this point, right?
Wonderful lady.
So she should be fatigued by this point, which is why I think having more time in the match would have helped with this. But then Shayna locks in the Kirifuda, and I was like, okay, Raquel is shattered. She's going to pass out. Cool. Raquel then counters it, does like the, you know, the legs on the turnbuckle, rolls up Shayna, which I was like, okay, cool, that's interesting. She kicks out. And then Shayna just kind of rolls her up and then wins. I was like, well, if you're going to win immediately afterwards, surely you could have just had Shayna win from the Kirifuda to make her look better. That's the point, right?
In their mind, her credibility was shot if she did that. I feel like they have to leave enough on the table to warrant a match between them two. Because you still feel like Shayna beat her. There's no point in having a rematch. You know, you snooze, you lose. But the fact that she won in that way means, ooh, Raquel's this tough person. They 100% will provide an alternative opponent for her to, mm-hmm. you know, to fight.
I still think the exact same sentiment is achieved if, one, you put more time into the match, so you
Agreed.
Have more of Raquel being exhausted for ages. Like, even in a match or two before, she's like, oh, man, she's really tired. In, like, when she's facing, like, Xia Li, she's like, man, she's been in the match for, like, 25 minutes. She's really getting on there kind of thing. Then she faces Natalya. Then she faces Shayna Baszler.
Yeah.
And then she's exhausted. And she just, like, she fights and she counters Akira Fuda. And then Shayna locks it in again. And then she's like, I can't, you know, I'm exhausted. Then she passes out and you go, okay, she did so well. She faced like four different people, lasted like half an hour in this match. She's a force to be reckoned with. If she faced Shayna Baszler fresh, you know, who knows who's going to win that match? You can protect Raquel in that way. And I don't think it worked here because you didn't put enough time in the match. For me, that's how it came across. And I think if you want to build up Shayna, because she hasn't been treated all that great, if you want her to be a legitimate contender for Liv Morgan, the way you do that is have her win dominantly. Have her make Raquel pass out. You protect Raquel from the time, and you make Shayna look great. I just think that's better. It just works.
You know what? It may happen next week. That's what they're saving it for. Next week.
Next week. You know what? If they have a match next week and Shayna wins, I'll take it back.
You heard it here first, guys.
Yeah. There you go. We then had, was it the final one? Yes, it was the final one here. So we'll talk about the Sami Zayn segments now. Because throughout the show, Sami Zayn was trying to get in to see Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And he kept trying to get in, and the Usos every time stopped in. And he was like, hey, you know, just want to say congrats to Roman. Want to get in there. And the Usos was like, not a good time.
Jimmy. Because yeah, Jay's stewing. Jay's like, I'm going to.
Yeah, Jay's not even looking at the man. He's just like,
you be Jimmy, I'm gonna do my Jay impression.
So he's just chatting away to Sammy, you know, having a good time. Hey man, yeah, it's cool. You know, you should go do this thing over here. So he was saying to Sammy that you need to go to the production truck, just make sure that Roman's entrance is like spot on. You know, we want to make sure that everything's all good with that. And Sammy went and he was like, okay, I don't really want to. And Jimmy was like, it would be a great help to the tribal chief. And he was like, all right, I guess I will. Jeez. Went away. Yeah, and Jay's just there to like, came back and in the third segment of this one, tries to get in to see Roman again, and they were like, still not a good time, man. And he was like, come on, man, like, I just want to get in there and see him. And Jay just finally like snaps and says like, look, you want to know the truth? The Bloodline are so dominant right now. We've got four titles, Roman's got two, and you've got nothing. So you need to shape up before long, otherwise we're going to make you take off that Bloodline t-shirt real soon.
Whoa.
And then they walk away and Sammy's like, ah, this is an issue. So, what is this leading to? What's our theory, Sat, that we both had independently that we realized we had the same one in the office together? Hit me with it.
Well, people complaining. Usos, what tag team's on the horizon? Nobody. Sami Zayn, where's his storyline going? A potential babyface turn. Kevin Owens, do you remember when you did your show and then Sami came on and you guys were talking about being a tag team again? Huzzah! Tag team, Sami Zayn, KO, Usos for the tag titles. This was going to. Sami Zayn's been here for too long. It's time to wrap it up. Time to cut their hair, trim the beard, get the scar music, wear the flat cap again. That's what we're leading to.
Sami Zayn gets kicked out of the Bloodline and he's despondent and he doesn't have any friends.
Not get kicked out of the Bloodline, but kicked out of wherever this
kicked
is.
Kicked off the Bloodline adjacent. Yeah.
Yeah, the leech train.
Yeah. Whatever he's doing right now. they beat him up, and he's despondent. He doesn't have any friends. Here comes Kevin Owens to lend a hand, helps him up, and they reconnect, and they find their old selves again. And then it's Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to tag team under Triple H.
Actually, you know, I can see it happening. I can see Kevin Owens actually first saying no, then getting beaten up by the Bloodlines, which will make him.
That's good.
Because you'll be Kevin like no. It'll be beat team up with me, whatever. No. And it's like, oh, cool. Something has to happen to Kevin in order for him to go, you know what? You're right. Let's go.
Fine. Yeah.
Like, it's like the Spirit Squad DX and Shawn Michaels thing. Like, how do you get the tag team together? You have to, like, it has to be a reason for him. Mm-hmm. Kevin could just say, yeah, I don't like the Bloodline. They're screaming over the Rumble and let's do it.
Yeah, there's fuel to work with there, I think. But
it would be a nice way to bookend Kevin's feud with Roman, with him kind of getting a consolation prize or winning the tag titles from his cousins.
Alternative theory. I hate this one a lot more.
Oh.
Sammy wins the 24/7 title. He's like, see, got gold.
That would make me laugh.
That would make me laugh as well.
I don't want to see it. I almost want to see it. Let's not prolong where this is going, because they've been teasing this storyline for a while. For a lot of people, it's like, I'm confused. Why is he a goof catching, getting water for these guys? And then why are they tolerating him? This is meant to lead to a vicious beatdown where you'll never be a Bloodline. You're a joke. You're this, that. It's meant to give him sympathy, because at the moment, you don't sympathize with him. You're annoyed by him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But I think we're building to a point where we will sympathize with him.
It'd be great. Hopefully. Oh my, I can't wait for it.
Can we get
KO?
Babyface Sami Zayn under Triple H? Thumbs up from me.
Ole, 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 ole.
Ole. Viking Raiders and squash local competitors Jim Mulkey and Tommy Gibson.
I'll put that in discount Chuck and Billy, but that's
that works. Yeah. Yep, that's that one too. After that squash, Kofi Kingston comes down with a kendo stick and beats him up a little bit. I thought this one, it was like, fired up Kofi Kingston, he's avenging Xavier Woods after the attack last week. Earlier in the show, Kofi Kingston did a backstage promo. He was like, hey, yeah, Woods is all good. Don't worry, man. He'll be back soon. I'm all good. And it was like, kind of undoes the emotion of the thing later you're about to do. But sure, that's fine. Whatever. That's no big.
Subterfuge. He didn't want people to know what's going to happen.
Sure. Apart from the fact that he said, it's time for me to teach the Viking Raiders a lesson and all that stuff. It's like, so everyone knows what you're doing then. All right.
It could have been next week.
Yeah, it could have been. Totally. This led immediately into a Kofi Kingston versus Eric match, which I thought was pretty good. I liked a lot of this. Eric looked really good. He had a bunch of like new moves that he kept doing, which looked really, really cool. I like it. It was good. It was vicious. It was physical. Kofi Kingston won with a roll-up, which I think makes sense because he's a better singles wrestler than the tag guy, because Kofi Kingston's a former WWE champion.
This is where someone can complain. The fact that he's a former WWE champion, he should have Thunder in Paradise's ass.
I don't know about that.
No, I get it. Because this is the new vicious Viking Raiders.
They are new and vicious.
10,000 push this year. 10,000 theme song this year. New look again this year. But I am not going to be negative on it, because I feel like they finally looked at the two guys. No, you're not cuddly. You're not sweet. I'm thinking of the Street Profit weird comedy feud they had.
Yep.
They haven't been tapping into what they could be. I think someone woke up one day and went, you know what? These two look like two vicious SOBs. Someone might have watched Vikings. They went, hey, I watched this show called Vikings. I got an idea. Mm-hmm. Let's get two guys dressed as Vikings. You've got the Viking Raiders. Oh yeah. Let's do it with the Viking Raiders.
Let's do that instead, I guess. I thought this was good though. I quite enjoyed this match. Kofi Kingston gets the win. All good. Thumbs up. Nice. We then got the announcement that the women's tag title tournament, that thing that they totally were always going to do, starts on Monday.
Brilliant.
Which is very exciting, I think, because now that Triple H is in charge, he remembered about that. So they're going to start the tournament on Monday. I think that either on Monday, or maybe in one of the matches later on, or maybe after the new champions have been crowned.
Yes.
Might see a return of Sasha Banks and Naomi.
That's what I think. They never technically lost the title.
Mm-hmm.
They can
come and stare down the new champions and be like, we're the real champions.
And could the new champions be Io Sky and Dakota Kai?
I'd
the
like that.
The names rhyme so beautifully. I don't want the tag team names for them. It should be Io Sky and Dakota Kai.
Io Sky, but spelled SKAI.
That is quite punny. I'll take that.
Thanks, man. I'm excited for that. Should be good. Starts on Monday. And then we had the main event segment that we already spoke about. For me, SmackDown was a good show. There wasn't anything super spectacular, bar the Karrion Kross debut, but there was some solid wrestling and some good signs for the future, I think. Like I mentioned before at the start of the show, lots of little things that are good omens for the future, I think. Good, solid booking. Thumbs up from me.
And
good
it's,
stuff.
And there's a thumbs up for me, as you guys saw my little dance, a little tribute to this man beside me. I feel like this giving us a look into the future, something that we couldn't do before. The future seemed doom and gloom. It seemed like they're going to repeat everything they've been doing right now, lack of effort. Mm. But you see Triple H has got something to prove. You can't be head of creative and rest on your laurels. You have to show why you've been put in that position. You have to prove to Vince McMahon, because it's not even proof to the fans. It's more like proof to Vince McMahon that my vision of what I think WWE could be, or what I did at NXT, that could function on the main roster. Mm-hmm. You can't prove to him, to Nick Khan,
yep,
and to the naysayers that laughed at him when NXT got cancelled and broke into million pieces.
Hell yeah. Also, I'd just like to point out, I just laughed because I looked at the chat and someone said that Dakota Kai and Io Sky's tag team should be called Sky Sports. S-K-A-I Sports.
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good. Well done. Well done. Well done. Let's talk about Rampage real quick.
This is Rampage.
It's the show that you've been waiting on, etc. This is Rampage. We started with Jon Moxley versus Mance Warner. They did, credit to AEW, they did a little video package for Mance Warner. For those who didn't know who he was, they did a little video package and told you who he was, and he did a promo. Do that for everyone that you bring in, please. Please do that. Mm-hmm. Don't stop expecting people to know a lot of things, because a lot of wrestling fans aren't very knowledgeable, including this guy.
No. Just get Excalibur. Talk very fast. This is Mance Warner. He's from GCW. Where he won the Jim Crockett promotion battle royal.
Video package is so much better.
Yeah, it was.
And I really liked this match. I thought it was a bit of fun. I thought Mance Warner actually looked really, really good in this one. And there was some brutal stuff. DDT on the steps. There's a little blade job going on when right. There was a chair and he did a forearm to the chair, did a little blade job across the head. I thought it was good. And then, all of a sudden, Moxie decided he actually wanted to win. Because then he just got him, stamped on his head, did a pile driver, did more stamps on his head, and then picked him up and dragged him across the ring while choking him. I was like, Jesus Christ, Moxley, all right.
That's beautiful.
And then he won. What a win. Really enjoyed all of this.
Yeah, I liked, because Mance Warner, he's the same ilk of Jon Moxley. Mm. The same walk of life. He lives on the rough and tumble side of it all. And he's a GCW guy, because, you know, what many people may not know, because he doesn't carry the belt often, that Moxley is a GCW World Heavyweight Champion. Mm. And Mance Warner, he likes to blade just like Jon Moxley. And hence, he did a little blade job in the match. And it was rough. It was scruffy. It's something you don't see often. It's always Jon Moxley inflicting that sort of pain on a wrestler. Mm. It's good when he can take it as well. So yeah, I'm done with you. It was a nice, interesting opener.
Mm-hmm. It was a very, very fun match. And also, Jon Moxley's been on a hell of a run since he won the title.
Why couldn't they do this to Hangman?
I know. Why did Hangman never wrestle when he was champion?
He's not known for his work rate. That's why Hangman's a promo guy. That's where it is. Book him like MJF. Just come out and sit on the announce desk next to JR. And
Hangman's really good wrestler.
He's a fantastic wrestler. It's weird how different world champions get booked differently. Because I put someone's mortgage on it that CM Punk would have the same run where he just defends the title every week had he not broken his foot.
Yeah, I would like that. Okay, backstage, the Factory approached Ricky Starks and was like, hey, we can offer you protection for free. And Ricky Starks was like, I don't need your help.
Lol.
Idiots.
Lol.
Quick question.
Yes.
What the hell happened to Nick Comoroto?
He's discovered clothes.
He looks like a completely different person. Like he shaved his beard off. He's got like no chest hair or anything now. He's got shorter hair. He was wearing a hat. He has like a lollipop. Why is he Tony D'Angelo? Why? What's he doing?
Oh, he could be the Godfather.
Same person, right?
Chilling with them homies.
Mm-hmm. What do they do to him? Anyway, we then had Konosuke Takeshita versus Ryan Nemeth. I love Takeshita so much.
Yes.
Put all belts on him now.
And then complain about it online.
I won't. Every belt. TNT, All Atlantic, AWO. Give him the Trios titles. I don't care. Give him belts.
We talked about this off air. So Tony Khan had a plan. He knew that if they brought in Takeshita and pushed him right off the bat, because not a lot of people knew DDT or knew about his running DDT or how he's a former DDT world champion in that world.
Yeah.
So they giving him the Darby Allin, Jungle Boy push away. He has to lose all the big matches. And even Willa Yuta went through the same trial fire of like, you get over by losing big matches, by putting in great performances. And when you finally win the big match, you're going to get that pop of a lifetime. It happened for, you know, Darby Allin, Jungle Boy, and Willa Yuta when he finally won the championship belt on ROH. So right now, they're slowly building him up. But as you're saying, you're a fan. I'm a fan. We're all big fans. We're just waiting for him to win some sort of title. All Atlantic, maybe. I don't know.
I'll be well up for that. Takeshita versus Pac. That sounds like a really fun match waiting to happen. Ooh. Also, I just realized that Nick Comoroto was like Tony D'Angelo because Cole Carter just joined the factory, who was Two Dimes.
Listen, I hated Two Dimes. Did you watch Two Dimes?
No. Why would I?
Okay. Because you when he jumped off ship NXT, he's completely stopped.
Yeah, no, I stopped watching NXT.
Okay, this is a Two Dimes promo. Yeah, we're going to get him. This is like a Justin Bieber country boy being part of the mob. I said it's like putting Andy Datsun in the mob. Does not make sense. Does not make sense.
Oh, that's good.
That's what he is.
Okay.
And then to the point where they stop having him cut promos, saying anything. Yeah, nod his head because he's not that charismatic. And then now, you know, Tony Khan's like, oh, yeah, you on NXT? It doesn't matter if 2.0 come over here. We'll give a tiered deal.
That's so weird.
A tiered deal, whatever that means. A handshake and a hot dog. I don't know.
I don't. Why do they care so much about this Two Dimes guy?
I didn't. Like, he was a weak link.
Yeah, I know.
He was the worst. Like, I hated him. When he went through, you know, with the fishes, when they killed him off,
yeah.
I was celebrating. Yeah. And he was here for another week because they taped in advance. Why is he still here? But now he haunts my life because he gone to the wrestling channel that I actually do like, the wrestling show I do actually like, and stinking up the place there as well.
It's just an odd fascination. Takeshita beat Ryan Nemeth very quickly. Good. He's great, and I love him. Best friends in Orange Cassidy are going to go for the Trios titles. Also, Danhausen was there. We had Madison Rayne taking on Layla Gray. Stokely Effin Hathaway is my guy right now. He's so funny. Did a little dance on Layla Gray's entrance, which was great. And to distract Madison Rayne in this match, he just threw a tantrum on the stairs. I love that man so much. He is so funny and is a gem and must be protected at all costs. We had a fun little back and forth in this match. Thought it was fine. Nothing too special, but good. Rain won with the cross reigns. Nice. And then Jade Cargill came out and offered. She said, I've got an open challenge on Dynamite, and I want you to accept it. And I was like, that's not an open challenge then, is it?
No.
It's not open, is it?
Okay. Previous open challenges, she's been disappointed. So she's tired of the minuscule competitions getting.
Yeah.
She's now reaching that point where like, you're all scared of me. I'm going to approach ones I think they'll give me an actual challenge. Mm-hmm. It's meant to make her look like a fighting champion.
Yeah.
So anything that makes Jade Cargill look good, besides actually looking good, is a good thing.
Yeah. Not an open challenge though, is it?
Yeah, she challenged her. She's like, I want you to accept this.
Yeah, it's not open then, is it?
No. She advised her. She went, as your friend, as it's your new day on the job, you may not know how things go around here, so I'm going to explain it to you. I do open challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should go for it. Yeah. That's what she did. Hey, girlfriend, you should go for it.
It's not open, though, is it? Because they announced the match. It's not an open challenge.
Yeah, advised her, and she accepted. It was an open challenge.
It's not an open challenge.
It is. She accepted an open challenge, so it's now closed.
It's closed for that week. It's a challenge.
And she accepted, and now it's closed for that week. You can't open it to next week. Open that challenge. You can apply for next week's open challenge right now, guys.
Then we had the main event. It's time for the main event of Swerve and Our Glory versus Josh Woods and Tony Nese in like a no DQ match. Swerve gets the win in the end. This was really fun, I thought. This was just a bunch of nonsense. There was protein powder in Keith Lee's eyes. There was a huge table spot. Josh Woods put Keith Lee through two tables with German suplex on the outside. That was great.
Tony Nese.
Tony Nese showing off a bit of charisma was very nice. We had Swerve get the win with the Swerve stomp in the end. Onto Tony Nese was really, really good. I'm really interested in Josh Woods. I want to see more of him because I was really impressed with his presentation in this match.
I was too. And I also wanted the foundation back. Oh, Jonathan Gresham.
Where art thou? Gresh.
It doesn't make sense. It's like, I don't want to go on a rant because it's a whole completely different story. We're going to stay on Dynamite. Yeah, Josh Woods got potential. He used to be a WWE developmental guy. Got released. Don't know why, but yeah.
Wild.
Yes.
I thought it was very good. This was a really fun main event. I really like Swerve and Our Glory as a team, and I'm glad they got a good, solid win. I just want to see them more because they're your tag champions.
Are they?
Yeah. So, you know, fun stuff.
It's funny how most people get booked, like different people that get booked when they get titles. It's like, if you can consistently book well for certain tag teams, mm-hmm. Why not book like that for all? And I repeat, all tag team.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy how that works? So, for me, I thought that was a good episode of Rampage. Once again, it was fine. If you missed it, you probably didn't miss anything major.
Yeah.
But it was good. It was a good hour of wrestling.
This is Rampage, yo.
It's the show that you've been waiting on, except not really. I think that's going to do it for the review section of this. Before we get into the rest of your Ultra Chats, we have to say thank you to some very special people. Those are our $25 and above pledge hammers over on our Patreon page. If you've not been to our Patreon page yet, you should. The poll is currently still running for WrestleTalk Extra 4 this month. There's a tight race for the show that Luke and Ollie will be reviewing for this month. It is between, it's a two-horse race currently, between New Blood Rising 2000.
Nice.
Or SummerSlam 2005. Oh.
New Blood Rising. New Blood Rising. I'm going to infiltrate. This is an open challenge. And I'm going to advise everyone on Patreon to pick New Blood Rising. It's your choice, but I'm advising you guys to choose New Blood Rising. Let Ollie and Luke, let them review the match between Stacy Keibler and Major Guns.
Sounds great. Patreon.com/WrestleTalk. Go check that out now. And if you pledge at the $25 or above tier, you get your own custom wrestling nickname and it gets read out on a show much like this one. So let's go in order, Sat. One by one by one by one by one. Thank you to Chris, the Cypriot sensation, Patru.
He's no jackass. Sorry, Mud Mother. Dan O.
Gavin, Cash Money, Kashiwabara.
Kick to the face. Get off my plane.
Fantastic, Mr. Gunold Fox.
The Venerable Jesse Venable.
Why was that a bit sexual? The Cleaner, Kenny Shaw.
The British Bulldog, Philip Boy, J. Smith Jr.
Wrestle Talk's personal ring announcer, Rodrigo Benitez.
Ronald Coleman, baby.
Baby. He can last Sean for longer than you in the ring.
Starbucks. Steven Costa.
Thank you very much. All of our pledge hammers over on our Patreon page. Let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats here. Last chance to get those in at wrestletalk.com/support. Hawk the Outcast 823 said, Cross looked like an absolute monster. Great to see him back, and I can't wait to see what happens when that hourglass runs out. Also, great job on the news, Sat. You had me at Please Be Nice to Me, or I'll punch you in the teeth. Just kidding. Allegedly.
Yes. So people know, I'm going to peel back the curtain. He wrote the script for me, and then he was very lovely about it. So Pete is a hardworking man, and he knows I hate writing. So he wrote the script for me, and he said there's little things you want to add in. So I want to thank Pete right now. Thank you so much for writing the script and making me look good.
But that line was Sat's that he included. That was not my line, just to clarify.
And he was happy to collaborate. He did not let ego get in the way of a great relationship that we have going right here. So thank you, Pete.
Thank you, Sat. Rob Steedley's been a member for 3 months in a row. Thank you so much. And says, love seeing you, Pete and Sat. Great way to start the weekend. Question, do you think they should put a belt on Cross or build someone else? Jam that jam.
Put it on Cross. The reason why I say put it on Cross, going back to his Impact Wrestling days, Killer Cross was seen as someone that's a WWE guy. Back in Lucha Underground, Killer Cross was seen, this guy could be a WWE guy. Vince would love him. Mm-hmm. Heck, Triple H signed him thinking, it's no brainer, Vince would love you. Then Vince was like, I'm too old, I can't see properly. Put some kink mask on him.
Put him in a Shredder costume.
Right? But yes, Cross is the guy for many reasons. You need another top heel besides Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. That's the issue with WWE right now. In terms of main event scene, it's Roman and everyone else. When Roman's not there, what do everyone else do?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think, yeah, if it is going to be a belt, put it on him. If it's going to be both belts, WWE. Don't.
WWE title, because Roman already said a WWE title means nothing. Mm-hmm. It's a universal title. That's the long title reign that we've been, you know, celebrating. Mm-hmm. If you lose the universal title, technically, he's only been champion since like April with a WWE title. Yeah. So take the WWE title off him.
Yeah, I agree. Damian Gilliam said, WrestleMania 39 is going to be mind-blowing, not necessarily in the best show of all time way, but the landscape of who's been elevated, aside from Cody versus Orton for the title... Hmm? Cody versus Orton for the title.
What does he know?
In brackets, my booking. I see a complete 180 from this year. I'm actually excited. That's new. Yeah, it's nice, isn't it?
Hope is new.
It's great.
Happiness is new in WWE.
Kevin said, I don't see people talk about the opener. I thought it was one of the best Corbin matches I've seen in the main roster. Really enjoyed that match. The pop for Kofi was also huge, so I'm glad to see that. Yeah, I thought it was a solid match between Corbin and Ricochet.
Corbin is underrated in the ring. He's got a good moveset. It's just that his booking has always been deplorable, except when he was homeless.
See, the thing is, I'm checking the chat, and they're saying that the Hall of Fame music is still on. Because I put on music when we do the Hall of Fame, when we do the Patreon channels.
Oh.
I've now turned it off, but people are still saying that it's on. So now I'm really confused, because I've turned it off, and I can see that it's off on the thing, but people are still saying it's on.
Is there a delay?
Who knows? It should only be a few seconds, but that's fine. Kevin said, I don't see people... Oh, no, we already read that one, sorry. Rhodes Travel has been a member for 9 months in a row. Thank you so much. Said, looking forward to the women's triple threat that will happen at Clash at the Castle. Also, Rousey versus Baszler future feud. Give me all of that fight. That sounds like fun.
Ooh, Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler, knocking the stuffing out of each other. Yes.
Mm.
Mm. It's a long time coming, but obviously Shayna needs that rebuilding session because everybody saw her on the main roster. We all can't pretend that her credibility is kind of shot at the moment.
Yes. Hawk the Outcast 823 said, also, Io Sky and Dakota's team name should be...
What is it?
Kai and Sky.
For
all the Taka Michinoku and Funaki fans. Kai and Sky.
Kai and Sky.
Very funny.
They're very evil, yes.
Oh, that's very good. Damian Gilliam again says, Konosuke Takeshita, no gimmick or gimmick change, no faction, no family history to build off of, no crazy high charisma, nothing, but this dude is on the brink of being one of wrestling's biggest stars just for his wrestling ability.
Hold up.
Effing incredible.
No charisma. You obviously don't follow him on Twitter. Take soup. Watch it. Go on his Instagram. Go on his Twitter. That guy's hilarious. He's got a sense of humor. You just need to go read his captions and stuff. Funny.
Yeah, exactly. Mary Painesville Dan said, hey, Pete. Hey, Sat. Got to chat in for a second, even though I'm not here live. Simply besides, I just found out Sat is here. I am so proud of you, man. You earned this, and I know this is your path. I've been here long enough to spot greatness. Much love. Thank you, Dan.
Dan is a lovely man. Mayor Painswood Dan, I love you, man. I name where I do my podcasting for the Mayor Painswood Dan room.
Nice. Very good. Misha Sumra said, it's not just Saturday, it's Sat-a-day on Wrestle Talk. Love the chill delivery from Mr. Nyangi on the news. Shades of Keith Lee. That's a bloody compliment.
Oh,
damn.
She's saying, you know what? It's true. When I do the news, I'm very eloquent when I talk on the news. On here, I'm a bit more loosey-goosey, but... Pete was my director. He went to me, Sat, I'm going to need you to chill a bit, like have the Sat E energy, but also put it down here. So if you're saying I'm laid back on there, that's not off my back. That's off my director right here.
That's me.
And also if you hate it, that's also my director right here.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. I'll take that. And also, he said, here's hoping we see Russell Talk's very own Big E at the watch party. You're all Big E, apparently, according to Misha Sumra.
I'm Sat E. Not Big E. There can only be one Big E, and he's a lovely man. He's a lovely man. I cannot hold a candle to Big E, to Ito Yuen. I cannot. I can only be myself. Sat E Nyangi, Mama Nyangi's baby boy. That's your guy. That's who you guys bought.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
You didn't buy a discount Big E. You bought Sat E. Sorry, man.
Winged Paragon said, I just want to say, Sat E, you're doing amazing, man.
Thank you. I appreciate all the love people have been giving me. Wrestle Talk have the best fan base, and I appreciate you guys who's discovered me for the first time. Yeah, I'm along for the ride. Been doing this for a year. I started wrestling daily. Then as a showstopper, I killed that show. Mm-hmm. Then I did an NXT review. Then I got cancelled as well. I kill shows, so just be worried about this show, because I am not... I'm what you call box office poison. I'm Taylor Kitsch, John Carter, et al.
It's okay, because if you kill this show, then I don't have to work Saturdays. So if you can kill it, that's fine. It's all right with me.
So you injected some poison into the seat.
With a lethal dose of poison. That was a Vince McMahon quote right there. Jack Nichols said, Tony Toot, who's that rocking up by the shore? Wyatt's Tempest in his golden boat. The SS Alvarez seriously winning returns. He might sail the Atlantic in that garish thing. What are you talking about? Great to see Sat and Pete. That bit I agree with. I have no idea what the rest of the Ultra Chat means.
Could it mean that I, like, when Tempest takes off his mask, it's me. Sat E is Tempest. You never seen both of us in the same room. Lol.
Yeah. It's Tempest. You never know. Also, I'd just like to point out, this isn't an Ultra Chat, but I've just seen that message from Luke.
Oh.
Over half the tickets are sold for the Clash at the Castle watch party. I'm not watching, so I don't know if he's promoed it. He's a pro, and probably has. I've had a couple of beers. Tickets are going fast, etc. I already did it, Luke. I'm such a pro. We're doing a Clash at the Castle watch party, if you didn't know. Do the link if the moderators have it. Do the other... Maybe it's in the description. I don't know. Buy tickets for our Clash at the Castle watch party. If you're in the UK when Clash at the Castle's on at the start of September, come watch it with us. We've got a venue. It's going to be loads of us in a room, and we're going to watch it together.
Question, do we know where the venue is?
Yep.
We're not allowed to see it?
Uh-huh. No, we are. I've just forgotten.
Oh. Click on the link. I just did a Wrestle Talk news, and you'll see it there.
Yep. Click on the link that's here as well. It's at the Joiner on Worship in Shoreditch. There it is. That's where it is. So you can come there. It's on September 3rd. And there you go. Over half the tickets have been sold. So come watch it with us. It's going to be a great time. I'm genuinely really excited for that show.
He's genuinely excited.
It's going to be such a good time. Can't wait. So yeah, thank you so much, everyone, for watching this, episode. Thank you, Sat E and Yankee, for filling in for Tempest and being awesome in general.
Thank you.
I hope you guys liked him on the podcast and on the news. Hopefully we're going to be getting Sat involved in a little bit more on stuff like this.
Say nice things, they'll bring me back. Say horrible things, you'll never see me again. It's up to you. I advise you guys to say nice things so they can bring me back in.
It's an open challenge. thank you guys so much for watching. Really do appreciate it. Subscribe if you haven't. Like the video. Subscribe for more content. We're going to have loads more stuff coming soon. Next week is going to be the debut of our new Friday show, the Blackpool Content Club. Woo! With me, Luke, and Tempest. It's gonna be great. Can't wait for that. Do the things, do the stuff. Bye. Jam that jam. See you later, Sat.
We're out of time.
Yeah. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.